is time to go back in time. Carol G and Forte, Jim Messier are here, and we're talking about Elmwood Plaza. And he said, didn't you talk about that last time? Yeah, we did, but here's part two. So where did we leave off? There's
we
a question
have to
you
think
weren't
about
ready
this. No, it where? Was a month ago.
Yes,
my goodness.
That's right.
Okay, so Elmwood Plaza, and why don't you give a little background for people that don't know what Elmwood Plaza is. Not everybody, you know, travels around Racine. Some people live in just on Amazon and all the, they don't go out and shop. I know people who do that. They don't go to any stores.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything online, which is, I guess, okay, but don't you want to touch the merchandise first?
There are fewer stores to go to, though, is the trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of empty stores.
Yeah. So why don't you tell a little history of the Elmwood Plaza first? When did, can you give us a little history? I know it's not in the notes there.
Okay. First of all, thanks. Thank you, Don, for having us again. We always enjoy sharing our memories of growing up in Racine during the 50s and 60s. The plaza has quite a history. It opened up in 1956, and of course the heyday years were the balance of the 50s and 60s and 70s until 1981 when the mall opened up. Their claim to fame was, they always would say, plenty of free parking, which was, I think, a ding to the downtown area and uptown and whatever, because you had to have money to pay for parking meters. But they offered free parking. At one time, they had 30 stores, and it was a very vibrant center. You could buy almost anything there, including a couple department stores. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, a little bit about us.
Well, I was saying to Jim, Don introduces us, Jim and Carol. Well, now we've been doing this about a year and a half each month. And Don, I want you to know we are not college professors. We are not deep into research. And I want our listeners to know this is a hobby. And Jim and I grew up separately, North Side, South Side, baby boomers, though, and born in Racine. And so out of this, at a Preservation Racine meeting 10, 15 years ago, we realized, among other people, like if you look at Retro Racine, there's so many people that do love the nostalgia of the 50s and 60s. But anyway, Jim and I got together to make some presentations and do some writing. And what we want to emphasize is this is our hobby. And we're trying to stick to the truth, but a lot of it is our own anecdotes or what friends tell us. But we're trying our best to be truthful, but we are not college professors.
We talk about a disclaimer.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Right, and if we don't know something, we just make it up. Right, Carol?
At least you're honest about it. Right. There are people that make stuff up and claim it's the truth.
No one has written in that I know of. But anyway, that was on my mind. So now, Jim, tell us a little bit more about the promotions. Elmwood Plaza did so much to be known. So tell us about, we use the word promotions. They were fast and furious.
Right, yeah. Before I get into that, let's talk a little bit about the lower level. A lot of people don't realize that there was a lower level at the plaza.
Right? I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Now, you could walk from Goldblatt's to the bowling lanes if you wanted to. If it was raining out or whatever, you would just walk in the lower level.
It was like a secret tunnel?
Well, it wasn't a tunnel. It was just a wide open area. And there were a few stores down there. There was a jewelry store there, a shoe repair shop, a record store at one time. A lot of service type businesses, I think, were there. And I think that was meant for future development, but that really never materialized. And it could have been scary if you're walking alone. It's this vast, empty area. You could also walk from Penny's to Goldblatt's, two of your major department stores there. But yes, the promotions, they had a lot of very interesting promotions. Don, you might know this person here. A radio disc jockey was there at one time, Dick Biondi from WLS.
Oh, yeah, he's a big guy. It was a big DJ in Chicago. Yeah,
yeah. I think he passed away already, but he was very, very popular. Also, many of the old Milwaukee Braves players were there signing autographs. And I had autographs from Warren Spahn and Eddie Matthews and a few others.
You still have them?
No, unfortunately, I don't know where they are. Maybe my mom gave them away or whatever. Yeah, but I could have had, you know, maybe Lou Burdett or Del Crandall, Johnny Logan, maybe even Henry Aaron. I don't know. But, yeah, I wish I had them now.
So would they come at different times and you would go over to the plaza then?
Yeah, you had to wait in line, and then you waited. It seemed like forever, but it was well worth the wait.
So over a few years, you got all those autographs.
Yeah, yeah.
Those mothers cleaning house. Gosh.
Little Jimmy is back at Elmwood Plaza. Little Jimmy is here for his autograph. He's a real pest. He's been here every time. We can't get rid of him.
That's how it was.
Well, another promotion, downtown, I think, too. But a big event in summer, sidewalk sale days.
Oh, yeah. I remember sidewalk sales. Yeah.
And I can, Jim and I have just discovered, Jim has a whole collection of newspapers, Racine Journal Times, especially from the 60s. And the ads that Elmwood Plaza put in, full page ads. And what is so surprising is you might say, well, was the newspaper thicker at the time? It was not only thicker, the pages were huge. Nothing like the size today. So when they had sidewalk sale ads, I mean, that covered a whole bunch of print. So it'd be a hot summer day, and the moms would take the kids in the station wagon and probably go for ice cream, velvet freeze or something
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
Right.
We had a shopping center near me, much like Elmwood Plaza. It was I don't think it was maybe a tad bigger, if anything, but it was much like Elmwood Plaza. It was called the Bar Harbor Shopping Center. And they had a, they put out their own little newspaper, and they put it in the mail every month, the Bar Harbor Shopper, and all the stores had ads in it. And it's funny, I remember this, they had their 6666 sale. Oh, I still remember the ad. It was a little Bar Harbor Shopper.
Pretty good ad.
It was June 6th, 1966, Gee. And it was a sidewalk sale.
Yeah.
And it was the 6666 sale at the bar. How do I, with all the stuff crammed into my head from 1966.
Isn't that amazing what comes out of your memory
It's still jammed in there, and I remember the front cover of that Bar Harbor Shopper newspaper. And every June 6th, I think about it. I say to my brother, 6666 sale.
Is that ever neat?
Yeah.
And your mother would go, too?
Everybody would go.
Everyone.
It was the 6666 sale.
Wow.
Can't miss it. Can't miss it.
Along with the sidewalk days that Carol talked about, the kids could enjoy stagecoach rides, complete with horses. They would take you around the plaza. And the kids, of course, would love it. But I think their most famous promotion was an actual helicopter would actually drop ping pong balls for some special promotion. And people would scatter and get those balls because some of them were good for cash and for gifts at stores at the plaza. And everybody was just waiting underneath that helicopter for a chance of getting those ping pong
balls. Did you get some?
I did, but there were nothing.
It sounded like the WKRP in Cincinnati promotion where they drop turkeys from planes. Remember that?
No, I don't.
And the general manager, people were getting these turkeys for Thanksgiving, hitting them on the head. They were running for their lives. And the general manager, Art Carlson, said, "As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly."
Well, we were much more safety conscious. Ping balls.
Yeah, I
hitting
think so.
You survived.
Right, yeah.
Well, Santa Claus, he was various places downtown. Zahn's, for one, but he was also at Elmwood Plaza in a trailer every year in front of Goldblatt's and complete with Christmas music being piped outside. Christmas at Goldblatt's with Santa Claus, a big time.
That's
what
right.
else, Jim?
Well, you know, there was other promotions there, too. they had carnival rides every spring. A carnival would come to town. And it would set up on a west end about where the Walgreens is located right now. It was just something to do for the teens. Everybody went there, my age. A lot of games and rides and things like that. Another thing they had there, and this involves my wife too, they had a Miss Elmwood Plaza contest. Actually, it was a Sweet 16 contest, and that was held in 1972 for the Plaza's 16th anniversary. And my wife, Lynn, was representing Plaza Shoes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, and most stores sponsored a 16-year-old girl in the contest. And this was actually a three-day event. And the winner was determined by the number of votes or ballots. So if you had a lot of friends or relatives, you'd stuff the ballot box and maybe, you know, she would win. And the drawing was held on that Saturday, the last of the three days for the event. And my wife actually finished in second place, or the first runner-up.
Yeah.
And she received a gift certificate for her sponsor store, which was Plaza Shoes, as well as another gift certificate to any store at the Plaza. This was really something to brag about back then. The winner was actually going to be on the 4th of July float. So that was something to really hope that you would win. But that was really an eventful day.
So you married a beauty queen.
I did, a beauty queen.
Yes.
Look at you.
Right. She is.
Yeah.
And is that when you decided to marry her right then and there?
Well, I think she was 16, but yeah, when I saw her pictures, that did it.
I also wanted to ask you about the carnival rides. Did you have a favorite?
I think the Tilt-A-Whirl.
The Tilt-A-Whirl.
Something very easy.
That's the only one that I ever got sick on, the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Really?
Yeah. The spinning. It was
not for me either.
Right.
That one bothered me. Don't you love carnival rides? You know, a few hours before you're on them, they were laying in pieces on a truck.
Yeah, right.
And now some guy who just got paroled from prison is putting them together.
I was going to say, do you remember some of the operators?
Yeah. You want to trust this guy here?
Yeah.
I don't like the fact it was in pieces on a truck an hour before, and now here I am risking my life on it.
Yeah, those promotions, risky.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go through now today a number of these stores. There were 17 stores that opened Alma Plaza, and we found out from your newspapers in the 60s there were 30 stores, probably in the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, women, girls, shopping, mothers, daughters, very, very big duo. Now, the stores that began, part of the 17, the famous name of Figus Brothers, they were downtown. And here they came to Alma Plaza. But there was Jane Lee and three sisters. But then in time, Lepp and Company, very high end, came in from Kenosha. New Mode Hosiery, because you did not have bare legs. Everyone wore stockings.
My favorite store.
Yeah. Oh, that's dangerous. And the Ritz Hat Shop, because we dressed up. Plus, we had the Goldblatts and Pennies for women's clothing. So we all know how we did dress up. Now, in high school in the 60s, we wore skirts, knee socks. We did not wear warm-up pants or anything like that. Our teachers, suits, high heels. At church, oh my goodness. I mean, if you see some black and white photos of the congregation sitting there, women all in hats, men with suits, and even at home, our mothers wore house dresses and maybe even aprons to cover the house dresses. So we were shopping for very dressy clothes, beautiful clothes, really. Some of our teen fashions in the 60s, what were we looking for? Mohair sweaters, pleated skirts, knee socks, the Liz Taylor blouse, which was filled with ruffles. Then, though, you know, that pleated skirt, even I was part of this, we began to want shorter skirts. And so it was common for us gals to leave home in the morning, and outside the door, we would do what we would roll up the skirt. We doubled over the waistband. And then when we got home, we undoubled the waistband. But the mini skirt came in. And then capris and culottes. Another one is almost all of us wore, can you imagine, headscarves. Walking to Washington Junior High, if my coat didn't have a hood, we were wearing headscarves. And Pat Nielsen, my friend, tells me about reminding me about New Mode Hosiery. There would be hundreds of very thin boxes. And the clerk would take one out very carefully, open up the tissue paper. And then Pat reminds me very delicately, this clerk would put her hand into the stocking so that over her fist, you could see how sheer it was, or the shade that it was. It took a lot to be a clerk at New Mode Hosiery. And the prices. We had fun looking at these old newspapers. Now, the word acrylic, that was a new fabric. There were acrylic sweaters in the Journal Times, $4. A washable pleated skirt, $5. A mohair sweater, $7. A headscarf, just two of them for $1. So, but a lot of this, these prices, we gals, especially as teenagers, we were babysitting to actually afford these items. The interesting thing, though, too, about Clerks, wherever we were, Figus, Three Sisters, everything we tried on looked just great on us.
Until you got home.
yeah, and true. You paid good money for that item. What color was that? No, we looked great in the store.
Yeah, when I used to get a suit or something, looked great in that 360 mirror they have there.
Yeah,
I get home and say, is this the same one I picked out?
Yeah, that's true.
No, my home mirror didn't look the same.
Yeah, they were slimming mirrors, weren't they?
Well, on Seinfeld, Elaine gets home. And the dress looks terrible on her. She goes, you have skinny mirrors here. I know you do.
Yeah, skinny mirrors. That brings back that memory. We were suspicious.
The skinny mirrors.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Everybody's hurrying to Goldblatt's for good old-fashioned savings. It's Goldblatt's fabulous one-day-only sale tomorrow, Thursday. Goldblatt's great low prices on brand-new items, values in every department, with extra late shopping hours to help you save even more. Look at these great values.
Save $7 an Oster 10-speed blender, only $19.99. Colgate toothpaste with an MFP, only 89 cents each. Hurry to Goldblatt's one-day-only sale tomorrow and bring a friend.
Guy's reading it like a newscast. Goldblatt said the blenders are $7. The utensils are extra. And let's have the weather now in sports. Carol G and Forte is here. I gave you first billing now. Jim Messier is here, too. We're talking about Elmwood Plaza in Racine on Durand Avenue. It's still there, still thriving. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the history of it. And this is part two. Last month, we did part one. Part two right now. And we left off with men's clothing, right?
We left off with men's clothing because I'm not going to cover that, Jim.
No,
That's your area to cover, so go for it.
And I wasn't about to cover women's clothing either. Guys were a lot more, I think, easier to shop for whatever because all we wanted was just, maybe shirts and pants and maybe an occasional suit once in a while. But we did have a number of men's stores at the plaza. Herbert's Men's Shop was there. Richmond Brothers was very popular. Bell's Men's Shop, the Leader Store, of course, and also Penny's and Goldblatt's. Now, some of the styles for the guys back then, of course, we all wore suits for special events. We had skinny ties, peg pants. Who remembers peg pants?
I never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
No.
Where you could barely get them on because they were just so tight.
We had fashion over here done.
Yeah, right.
We had fashion.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You were on the East Coast. You know what? What do you guys know about that?
That's right. Brooks Brothers, nothing.
But peg pants, I got a lot of demerits at St. Catherine's High School for wearing peg pants.
You couldn't wear that in high school?
Well, you could wear pants, obviously, but you couldn't wear them that tight where you around your legs were, that was considered obscene, I guess. I don't know.
You know where I got in trouble? In middle school, wide belts were in the 1967, 68, belts.
Yeah.
And the history teacher, he was a nice guy. I happened to love his class, but he looked at my belt. He said, go down to the principal. You can't wear that belt here. Oh. And it was a stylist. That was the fashion. He said, those are garrison belts. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
He said, can't wear it. So I went down to the principal. And he had to call my mother in to bring a new belt, which didn't fit the pants because the loops were big.
Sure.
And it looked weird.
Yeah.
And eventually they caved in and let you. Schools are the first to say no, no, no until it becomes so fashionable. They got to say yes after a while. So I put the belt back on. But he sent me down to the principal's office.
Yeah.
It was the fashion. I should have got you as my attorney.
Anybody remember the Madras shirts?
Oh, Madras shirts. I used to love them.
Yeah.
I still have them.
Back in the mid-60s.
Now, could you wash those?
You could wash them, and they would change color if I remember.
Yeah, they would bleed together or something.
Right. Yeah. Some guys wore some new fashion thing called Nehru jackets.
My brother wore Nehru jackets.
No kidding.
They look like...
Nehru.
They look like Nehru, from India. And they were almost like you were almost like a priest wearing the jacket.
Yeah,
but they were different colors.
Yep.
Yeah. My brother had one. If you look at the old rock groups like the... Strawberry Alarm Clock, Incense, mm-hmm. Peppermint. They were wearing Nehru jackets in the group.
Oh. Now, were they wearing all different pastel colors?
They weren't pastel, but they were different colors. They were like psychedelic.
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So those were allowed at high school for you? Or is this bad?
No, of course not.
No,
you wouldn't do that.
Demerits, no. Okay.
I'd be kicked out.
Jimmy was expelled for wearing one.
Button-down collars, I remember that.
Yeah.
But like Carol said, all the clerks would always say, oh, that looks great on you, sir. Everything looked good on you. And the salesmen were very attentive. They were all dressed in their suits, of course. And everyone I remember had a tape measure draped around their neck. Remember that?
Yeah.
But now we have to say that you were one of those salesmen.
I was for a while at Penny's downtown.
Yes, you were. And my husband was at Penny's Elmwood Plaza for one Christmas season.
Yeah.
But I never asked him if he was coached to tell everybody how good they looked.
Oh, yeah. We had to do that.
Did they tell you that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Always compliment the person, you know, how great he looks.
That's a nice way to say it, compliment the person.
Right, yeah. And you could also buy children's clothes there. Mm-hmm. There was a store for that, Carol, right?
Tots and Teens, that was very special, I would say. This was a perfect store for holiday dresses. Every day, too, but it was definitely a notch above, even though we had Penny's and Goldblatt's, too. Again, like we've just had Easter. Well, Tots and Teens would be a place for a little girl with white patent leather shoes, a little purse, a hat with maybe daisies on it. We called white socks with the shoes anklets. Tots and Teens, yes, was a cut above. But then also, we have to say, that is where I got a poodle skirt. Now, the poodle skirt is worth some discussion here. I actually did some research on the poodle skirt, would you believe? And there is a person credited with creating the poodle skirt. I would have never guessed it. Have you ever heard of Julie Lynn Charlotte?
No.
1947, the first poodle skirt made out of felt. She had dachshunds on hers. So can you imagine? I don't know if she's had royalties or whatever you'd call it ever since. She'd be a millionaire, billionaire by now.
Her name wasn't her last name wasn't Poodle by any chance?
Yeah.
No?
Oh. Okay. So anyway, Tots and Teens got my poodle skirt there.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, how about shoes? We were always looking for shoes.
Oh, yeah. We had a number of stores that sold shoes at the Plaza. Kinney Shoes, I think, was very popular. Plaza Shoes, Richmond Shoe Store. Both had, of course, men's, women's, and children's shoes. For guys, I remember some of the guys wore the penny loafers, cordovans, wingtips, or Oxfords, if you prefer. We usually wore them for proms or special events. But sneakers, I remember that was very popular. Mm. Who remembers PF Flyers?
PF sneakers,
Flyers?
Yeah. Keds.
Keds, that was another one. Mm-hmm. Keds, right. And, of course... Pat Boone always wore his white bucks. That's right. So a lot of teenagers would want to imitate him, and of course they would buy white bucks. Same thing when the song Blue Suede Shoes came out by Elvis, or before that, Carl Perkins. Everybody wanted blue suede shoes. But these shoe salesmen, I remember, they were what we consider career salesmen. They were all dressed up in their suits, and of course they would measure your feet by using that Braddock device. It would measure the length and the width. It was that metal thing you put your foot in, and it would, by moving different things, they could see your...
They don't have them anymore?
I don't know.
I think they...
they
do.
You don't really have many shoe salesmen anymore. You go pick out the box on the shelf
and
you pay
for it. It's amazing. We can do it ourselves. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
That's right. X-ray machines. We had to put our foot in this X-ray machine, and I don't know how we're still There's I a, know. We survived.
There's bones. A lawsuit waiting to happen.
They're totally banned today, of course, but we're still here, Carol. You know, yeah, wonder we're still alive. So what were some of the women's styles?
Oh, shoes are always such a fashion statement. I had white bucks. I'm surprised that I actually did. I didn't have any blue suede shoes, but patent leathers with the Mary Jane strap, saddle shoes forever. Now, we have a cute story about penny loafers. Jim and I met Marcia Connett, and she was talking to us in one of our programs about the outdoor, how she was at the outdoor with a date that she did not want to stay with. So she was wearing penny loafers, but I was reading about penny loafers again in my research. It started with the penny because it cost a penny to make a phone call. Now, Marcia's story, she tells, she went to the snack bar. She got out her dime from her penny loafers, called her father to come and get her. So she was saved by
How bad was this date?
She was saved by her penny slash
dime.
What was
it, Jack the Ripper in the car? We're going to take a quick break. Jim and Carol are here. We're talking about Elmwood Plaza Part 2. A little bit of history for you today. Talking to Jim and Carol, and we're talking about Elmwood Plaza Part 2, and I just found inside information that we might have a Part 3. It's just too much.
Because there were 30 stores, Don. What can you say?
All right,
this was very, very exciting to have a place like this.
We left off at your blue suede shoes
and your
saddle shoes and the
white
bucks.
That's right. So now, believe it or not, I was, again, my research, Birkenstocks. They came in 1964. I never had a pair at that time at all, but that began. But what was the event in 1966 about footwear? Nancy Sinatra.
These boots are made for walking, and they're going to walk all over you.
Yep. And so that went to boots. Especially, we call them go-go boots. Mm-hmm. Brand new fashion.
Can I tell you my go-go boot story real quick?
Mm-hmm.
My brother used to play with a lot of groups of the 1960s, Shangri-La's, Leader of the Pack.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big hit. And my mother was there in the dressing room. And one of the twins, there was a young woman, a blonde woman, who was the lead up front. And the two twins were in the back. And one of them, their white go-go boots were hurting them because it was too small. And my mother said, well, I'm wearing go-go boots. You want to try them? She said, okay, I'll give you back right after the show. I'll give them back to you. She never gave them back. So the go-go boots my mother had were from the Shangri-La's.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh. And are they on your mantle now?
No, they were thrown out when she moved.
Oh, jeez.
She threw that out along with my high school diploma and my Beetle ticket stubs.
Those mothers. Cleaning house.
She said, if it was important to you, you would have taken them with you.
Yeah,
I remember
right.
that phrase. Yeah. Well, along with our clothes and our shoes, we had our hair and women had our makeup to be shopping for at Elmwood. And especially as teens, but moms too. Now, we had at the Elmwood Plaza one particular hair salon called Miss Marge's. But we had Goldblatt's and Penny's. And we talked about last week, at Goldblatt's, it was the hair salon that started the big, big fire.
Yep.
And that was 1981, wasn't it? The big fire from the hair salon? Something like that.
Is that where it started, the hair salon?
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Those
That's right.
curling irons. Was it a curling iron?
Yeah. It was
do we have curling irons then?
I don't know.
I didn't do that research.
Yeah.
When was the curling iron started to be used?
You're not asking me, are you?
I do not know.
I have curly hair, but I don't do it with a curling iron.
Oh. But anyway, permanence. Oh, my goodness. We had permanence. I always had very much trouble with permanence at hair salons. Because for some reason, I'm sure people want to know this, my hair is very coarse, and it took that solution like you wouldn't believe it. And I would come out of there very curly when pretty soon we all wanted straight hair, but I had a lot of trouble.
Don't tell me about curly hair, okay?
I wondered if you would chime in there. But we also had so much teasing of hair. We had these very elaborate hairstyles. Curlers were needed, and the hairspray and the teasing. So we had these hairstyles that had to be worked on so diligently. We had the French twist. The flip was maybe the most important. If you looked at my high school yearbook, I bet almost half of the gals, they had the flip. That took a lot of rollers and a lot of hairspray. We had the beehive, we had the bubble, but we also wanted to do things on our own, and that was the Red Cross drugstore at Elmwood. There you could buy your own Tony and Lilt home permanents.
Tony home permanents. Mm-hmm. I remember the ads for those.
Yeah. Yeah. So I looked them up. And all the comments seemed to point to, and I didn't remember this, but I guess it was made out of pure ammonia because they talked about the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't even wearing masks in those days. Can you imagine in the hair salons and even with the Tony?
I remember them because when I used to go there with my mother, you know, when I was a little tyke, she used to drag me to the beauty parlor with her.
Yeah.
And the stench in that place from the permanents. Yeah.
That's right.
Can you imagine the fumes and everything that we endured? Oh, boy. Well, and I think you said your sister was all in mom. They were doing Lilt home perms.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I remember that smell. Horrible stuff.
Yeah, see? Okay. Yeah.
That stench.
All this in the name of beauty.
Yeah,
attempted
right.
beauty.
The
yeah.
bottom of the barrel stench.
Oh. No. How about you guys, Jim?
Well, the Plaza did have a barbershop on a west end. They had actually five barbers there, and these were actually career barbers. I remember paying a dollar and a quarter back then, back in the 60s. Buck and a quarter for a haircut. And us kids, we never gave any tips or anything, so it was simply a dollar and a quarter. Now, some of the styles back then, I think everybody had either a crew cut or a butch. I don't know what the difference is between a crew cut and a butch.
Okay, the butch used that stick, the wax stick.
Oh, okay.
To put your hair up at the front.
At the front.
Yeah, the crew cut was just a short haircut.
Okay, like an army cut or something, I suppose. Huh?
I'm glad you know your hairstyle's done.
My brother had the butch. I didn't. That stick that made the hair go up in the front.
Yeah, yeah. The regular haircuts, of course, and some guys even had what they called a greaser look. You just load your hair with all kind of tonics and everything. But what happened back in 1964 or 65?
The Beatles!
The Beatles! They changed everything. Mm-hmm. Now longer.
Well, my grandmother saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show the first time they were on. She was screaming, "Those animals, look at their hair, those animals, they're filthy." Look, and their hair was pretty short.
It was short back then.
Those
yeah.
animals.
Yeah.
Those That's animals, right. look at their filthy.
Yeah.
And she did it with like a Polish accent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that changed everything.
The shock of it all.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, anyway, skincare too. Now, Elmwood Plaza had its very own skincare shop called Vivian Woodard. She probably came from New York City, the chain. And then we learned this phrase in the 50s and 60s, skincare. And skincare probably done properly had you bankrupt because there were probably 5 to 6 different parts to your skincare that everybody needed. But if you didn't go to Vivian Woodard at the Plaza, you went to the Red Cross drugstore. And there you could get Max Factor, Hazel Bishop.
Oh, yeah, Hazel Bishop. Yeah.
Hazel Bishop. I did a little research on Hazel Bishop. She was famous for her red lipstick and that it was no smear and long-lasting. Then there were perfumes, especially in the holidays. We talked a couple times back here with Don. There was a real Prince Machiavelli, Windsong. There was a real man, Prince. We did, at the Red Cross, Arpège. Cody, Evening in Paris. But the guys, Jim, what were you getting at the Red Cross?
Well, at the Red Cross, we would get primarily hair tonics and aftershave lotion. I remember some of the hair tonics were Vitalis.
Yeah, Vitalis.
Yeah, Vaseline, Brill Cream.
A little dab will do
you. There you go. Okay. Wild Root was another one. And some of the aftershave lotions I remember were Aqua Velvet. Brute was very popular.
Brute, yeah.
Yeah. High Karate.
Remember the TV commercial with that guy? Remember the High Karate TV commercial?
Oh, yes.
Where the guy would go like this. He'd go, ooh, look at that. High Karate. Yep. Once he put the High Karate on, he was able to do karate. It's a funny commercial. It would have to be a comedy commercial.
Yeah. Jade East was another one.
Jade East,
English Leather.
I remember English Leather.
And yeah. I still have some I bought in 1963.
Oh, good. That ought to smell good.
I put it on this morning. Can you smell anything, Carol?
You got that odor eater thing up there.
That ought to corrode the flesh off your face.
It still works, apparently.
Now, Jim, I just am thinking, you did not mention Old Spice. And anytime I hear of Old Spice, I had an uncle. When he would come for uncle and aunt, he had so much Old Spice on that it would really just gag anyone
sickening.
At the table.
Yeah.
Oh, I still think Old Spice with my...
How about when you get somebody in your car, you pick them up, and they are wearing so much cologne that your car... Because it's a small space.
Yeah, right.
And then you want to open the windows, but you don't want to open them and, you know, insult them. So you just say, oh, it's really hot in here. And you're gagging, you can't breathe, turning blue.
Oh. Yeah, it's like they marinate in it,
now,
you know.
Also that Brill cream, well, that wasn't to in. That was just a shaving thing.
No, that was hair. Yeah.
That was hair.
It was like a white cream.
Because that had all those the signs on the highways.
No, you're thinking that's
Burma Shave.
Burma Shave. Burma Shave.
Yeah.
Okay. You're thinking of that.
A little different.
Yeah, you're all confused.
We know that.
Too much research on
Brill Cream. They were little cartoon characters. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream.
Yeah.
How do I remember that stuff? I never used anything. On my hair my entire life, I have never put anything on it.
Now, does your brother have curly hair as well?
No. Very straight hair.
Because he had the crew cut.
Well, he had the butch.
The butch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got straight hair. I'm the only one who's got curly hair.
So did your mother or dad have curly
hair? My mother did.
Okay.
I think my dad had wavy hair, but my mom had curly hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right. Enough with my family genealogy.
We need to know these important things.
Okay, so next time we have more to do with them with Plaza.
Part three.
Part three is coming up. Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier. I can't wait till you guys go back to the Golden Rondelle.
We are going to go back to the... Living Faith Church in August.
Okay.
And that's open. And that holds about 300 people.
All right, that's good. That'll do.
Yeah. And we're adding going to the beach.
North Beach.
A new segment.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. The beach party.
Oh, beach party segment. Frankie and Annette stuff going on there.
That's what we're going to have.
Frankie and Annette.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in. I do really appreciate it. Good luck with your open house.